Parshas Lech Lecha is a parsha with many lessons to be learned from. We know Chazal tell us, Maisei Avos Simun Labanim. What happened to the Avos is a simon for the future generations, for the children, and that explains a lot of incidents that happened with the Avos, why they were Makbid, and so on, because it's a simon what happens to the generations later on. And there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from the parsha. Hashem tells Avram, go, travel, me'artzecha from your land, me'meratcha from your birthplace, be'savicha from your father's house, el ha'oretz asher echo to the land that I show you. Why did Hashem tell Avram to travel? Lech lecha. Well, poshut, we know it's one of the nesiyonis, one of the ten nesiyonis that Hashem gave Avram was a nesiyon of traveling, leaving his birthplace, his country, and traveling to an unknown land was an assignment to see if Hashem would follow the Rotzen of Hashem. Rabbeinu Bechai, Rabbeinu Bachya, in his Agdama to Pashas Lech Lecha, writes something very interesting. He brings down the Pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo Melech writes in Mishlei, in Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chof, Hoylech es Chachamim Yechom, V'royak Silim Yeraya. One who goes with a Chacham will become a Chacham. One who stays with the fools will be bad, becomes a fool. The Medrash says that one who stays together with Chachamim, Tamidei Chachamim, is compared to somebody who walks into a factory smelling from perfume, where they make perfume. Even though he doesn't buy anything, he just walks into the building, but he absorbs the smell. And when he walks out, he has the smell of the perfume. It smells nice. His clothing smells nice. He takes out from the perfume with him. It didn't cost him anything. The perfume factory, the owner, didn't lose anything, didn't give him anything, but yet he takes. One who stays together with Chachamim is affected by their Chochmah, by their Hanhoga, by their Kantot, the way they behave. And he learns how to be a mensch from Chachamim. He learns Torah from Chachamim. Torah is also compared to a ner, to a candle. The Chazal tell us, ner le'echad, ner le'meyo. When you light a candle for one person, it's good for 100 people also. Just because more people are enjoying the light, it doesn't take away from anybody else. A Chacham who gives over Torah doesn't lose any of his Torah, of the light. Just the opposite. The one who shares light that he has with others, it lightens up for everybody else. A fool, on the other hand, one who stays with fools, he learns from the fools, he's influenced by them. So he goes into a place that has a bad odor, a bad smell. He walks out, he might not have taken anything with him, but he smells very bad because of the place that he was in. One who stays with fools inevitably learns from their ways. It all depends where a person is. A person's environment affects him. We have in the last week's parasha, in Parshas Noach, the whole brio is affected. The animals also sinned. The animals were also mezana, Chazal tell us. Do animals have bechira? Animals have choice. How are the animals mezana? And the Beis HaLevi brings down, the insight is that when people act wrong, when people misbehave, it affects the whole brio. It affects the whole environment. And not only are other people affected, but animals are affected also. The whole creation, the whole world is affected by what people do. And therefore, in the Dor HaMabul, the whole Bria had to be destroyed and brought back again, because the whole Bria became corrupt from the actions of people. Depends where a person is, what he does. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, don't stay here, because the people in your hometown, the people in your homeland, are not good. They're Rishoyim. If you stay here, you might learn from them. Lech Lecha, travel, go away. Leave. Sometimes in life, it's necessary for a person to go, to travel, to leave where he is. He can't stay in the place that he is because he might learn from the people, be influenced by the people and by the environment. So Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha, travel, go, don't stay here because you might be affected by the people. So this is Rabbeinu Bachya in the Agdama to the Parsha, a reason why Hashem told Avram to travel. The Medrash Tanchuma takes the opposite approach. The Medrash Tanchuma says, why did Hashem tell Avram Lech Lecha? A moshul to somebody who has a bottle of perfume and he's standing in the cemetery, he's in the Beis HaKvaros. As long as he's in a cemetery with a bottle of perfume, nobody enjoys it. Nobody has any hanah. In order for people to enjoy the bottle of perfume, he has to take the bottle of perfume and go out among the people, and this way everyone enjoys it. Avraham Avinu had a moon on Hashem. Avraham Avinu, we'll use the word, discovered Hashem. Avraham was like somebody standing in the Beis HaKvaros, a bottle of perfume. Hashem told him, Lech Lecha, go out into the world and teach the whole world about Hashem. Don't just stay in one place, but Lech Lecha, go out into the world and spread, teach Torah, teach about Hashem to the entire world. A person can't sit in one place. A person has to go out and travel and be mechazik and teach others. Sometimes in life, people have to move around. A person has to travel. A person finds himself going to a different place. Why do I have to be here? Why me? Why here? And the truth is, on the surface, we might not know the reason why. But lech lecha, the different reasons why a person has to move around. Could be the environment that he's in was not good for him, and Hashem wants him to be better, move somewhere else. Could be lech lecha, he has what to give over to other people, and Hashem wants him to teach others, help out other people, be mechazik other people. Lech lecha, travel, go. Rashi tells us, lech lecha lahana oscha l'tayv oscha. It's for your benefit, for your hanah. Travel for your benefit. There you'll become great, you'll have children, you'll have a lot of money, which you aren't zeichet to have here. Travel. I said this over probably every year, the story of Reb Nachum Chinoblo was Isaac in the midst of Pidyon Shvuyim. And he would go around collecting money to redeem people that were captive, people that were put in jail and dungeon, and he would always go around collecting with great Mesiris Nefesh, and people used to be mevaz him and embarrass him, and he went around collecting to save people that were in jail. It comes one day, some people were angry at him, and they made up a story, and informed the government about Reb Nachum Chinoblo, and they put him in jail. And they put him in jail, and he was sitting himself in jail. Some of the Hasidim came to visit him, and they said to him, Rebbe, we don't understand. How could it be? Your whole life, you were Isaac in the midst of Pidyon Shvuyim. Your whole life, you went around redeeming people that were captives, people that were put in jail. And now you yourself are punished and you're in jail yourself? If anything, you're the one person in the world who should be free. You freed so many people. Why did Hashem do this to you? Why are you sitting here in jail? And Reb Nachum Chinoblo answered, Vayoyim Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artecha. Hashem told Avram, travel, go from your land. Avram Avinu, of all people, has to be the wanderer, the one who wanders around. Avram Avinu was the greatest achnosis archim. Machnas Eirich that there is Avram Avinu. Ask anybody, how many doors did Avram Avinu's tent have?
Four
doors, each side. No matter which direction Eirich came from, he saw an open tent. He knew Avram Avinu's tent. He was welcome to come, to rest, to eat. How could it be that of all the people in the world, Hashem told Avram, travel around, become the wandering, become a wanderer. Avram Avinu was the one who took in all the wanderers, he took in all the guests. Why did Hashem tell him to wander around? Nachum Chinoblo answered, because just the opposite. Hashem wanted to make Avram Avinu into a greater Machnas Eirich, to do greater chesed. Because up until now, Avram Avinu only saw one side of the story. He only knew what it felt like to be the host, to take in the guests. He didn't know what it felt like to be wandering around. Now Hashem told him, go and wander around. See what it feels like on the other side of the coin. See what it feels like to be somebody wandering around. And this way you'll understand even better Hachnosas Archim, what a guest needs, what somebody who's wandering around, what he needs, how to take care of them even better. It will improve your mitzvah Hachnosas Archim. So said Reb Nachum Chinoblo, the same is true. I'm sitting here in jail, not as a punishment, chas v'sholom, but rather I should learn what the captives are suffering in jail, how terrible it is, how important it is to do a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, and how I could better myself and work harder to free all those people that are in jail. So it was done, not as a punishment, but rather as a way of helping me improve, helping a person become better. And that's the greatest lesson to us. We go through life and things happen. Why me? Famous words everybody says. Why did this happen to me? Of all people, I deserve it. I'm the Machnas Eirich. Me of all people? How come? And the Teretz is because there's a lesson to learn. From everything that happens to a person is a lesson to learn. Sometimes a person has to be on the other side to see what it feels like on the other side to understand how to be better. There's always a lesson to learn. Whether it's obvious what it is or not, there's always a lesson to learn. When things happen, the question is not why me. The question is what can I learn from it? You know, the Bali Musa say over, whatever we learn in Gemara, and we have a nice little story in the Gemara, a nice little drosh in the Gemara, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what would I have done? If I was the one in that story in the Gemara, what would I have done? How would I have behaved? A person has to learn from whatever story happens, whatever situation a person is in, learn from it. Lechacha, Shimta Avram, travel. Lahana oscho l'tayv oscho. It's for your benefit. You know why? Because you'll learn from it. You're going to be a better Machnas Eirich. It's Lahanoscha v'Teivoscha. As we go through life, whatever happens is Lahanoscha v'Teivoscha. We find by Sheni, the Pasuk says, Avram and Sarah coming down to Mitzrayim, and Avram seems to get a little bit nervous. He says to Sarah, Yishnoi, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayhi kasha hikriv lova Mitzrayimom, when they're coming close to Mitzrayim, vayoymel Sara yishtoi, Avram says to Sarah's wife, hinei no yodati ki isha yifas marot. Now I know that you're beautiful and we have to watch out for the Mitzrim. When the Mitzrim will see you, and I tell them that you're my wife, v'horgu oisi, v'oisach ichayah to let you live. So Avram has a plan, imri no achoisiyot. Tell them, please say that you're my sister, and this way they'll give me presents, and they'll let me live, and we'll be okay. The Ramban brings down that Avram was chayte. Avram, by doing so, was a chayte. He should have had bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem would watch over him and his wife, and he shouldn't have to go ahead and put Sarah in danger of being taken away to Paroi's palace, which is in effect what happened. They took her away to Paroi when Avram said that she was a sister. And Ramban continues and he says that because of this chait, the Yidden had to go down to Golos Mitzrayim. This is one of the causes, the reasons why the Yidden ended up going down to Golos Mitzrayim, because Avram didn't have the proper bitachin, and he said, achoisiyot, and he came up with this plan, saying the sister, and he put Sarah into danger. The Medrash Rebbeinu B'chai brings down later on, that by the Bris Bein Absarim, Hashem promised Avram Eretz Yisrael, and Avram said, b'mo eda ki rishena. How will I know that I will yarshin, I will inherit Eretz Yisrael? B'mo eda. And there, Rebbeinu B'chai brings down, the Medrash brings down, that for saying b'mo eda, for questioning Hashem, b'mo eda, that was a chait in Avram's part. He questioned Hashem, and because of that, the Golos Mitzrayim came about. Rebbeinu B'chai says very powerful words. He says, either way, whatever the chait was, but the tzad hashava, the common denominator is, it was a chait hadibur. It was because of words. It was because of speech. Because of words that were said. Words that were improper were said, either in mino achaisiyot, or ba mo'eda, it was words that were said, because of the chait of dibur, Klal Yisrael, Avram's descendants, had to go into Golus in Mitzrayim. Such is the power of dibur. We speak, we talk, we don't think before we say something. The koyach hadibur is very, very powerful. A person says something, it has an effect. We don't always feel it, we don't always see it, but from Avram Avinu's words, the koyach hadibur was so strong that Klal Yisrael went into Golus. The pasuk says a little bit later in the parasha in Perek Yudgimel Pasuk Zayin, Vayehi Riv. There was a machlokes between the Roye Avram, between the shepherds of Avram, Uvei Roye Miknei Loit, and the shepherds of Loit. Vakanani Vaprizi Oz Yoshe Boretz. And the Kanani and the Prizi were then living in the land. And all the Mepharshim have othered, what's the connection between the first part of the pasuk and the second part? The first part says there was a machlokes, the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Loit had a fight, and the Kanani and the Prizi were living there. Who cares? What's the connection between the fight and the Kanani and the Prizi? So Rashi tells us right away a few words. Says Rashi, what does the pasuk mean, the Kanani and the Prizi? Says Rashi, that they were still there, and Avram was not yet Zaycha to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't yet his land. Because the shepherds of Loit claimed that since Avram eventually would inherit Eretz Yisrael, all the land belongs to him. And therefore, and Loit is the Yerush of Avram. Avram had no children. So the shepherds of Loit said, the land all belongs to Avram, which will go down to Loit. Therefore, we're allowed to eat it. So the pasuk, Vakanani Vaprizi, the land was not yet Avram's. It still belonged to the Kanani and the Prizi. And therefore, it did not belong to Avram. And it was Gezeila to go ahead and take away the land. So says Rashi. The Sfarna in this pasuk says an amazing pshat. It says, Vakanani Vaprizi Oz Yoshe Boris. There was a machloikis, a fight between Avram's shepherds and Loit. Says the pasuk, stop. You know why? The Kanani, the Goyim watching you. The Goyim are standing right there. And when the Goyim see Avram's shepherds in a fight, what a chul Hashem it's going to be. What a chul Hashem will be. His lashon is mavish reicham ba'ini ha-goyim. Your ruach will smell in the eyes of the Goyim. You want to have a fight. Not if the Kanani and the Prizi are sitting right there. If the Goyim are right there, what a chul Hashem a machoikis cause. So the pasuk was a fight. But says the pasuk, Vakanani Aprizi, the Goyim were right there. So Avram said right away, let's stop. This fight can't continue. Of course Avram's shepherds were right. It was Gezeila, and like shepherds had no right to do what they did. But Avram said there can't be a machoikis. You know why? Vakanani Vaprizi Oz Yoshi Boritz. Because the Goyim are here. And in front of the Goyim, when they see Avraham Avinu, his shepherds, having a fight of tremendous Chilul Hashem. No, a lesson for all of us. Be careful. You have a machlokes, make sure it's not in front of Akanani Vaprizi Oz Yoshev Oretz. The Arachayim HaKadosh brings down, and others bring down the same idea, is that the next pasuk continues, and the next pasuk says, Vayoyma Avram El Loit. Avram says to Loit, Al Nasahi Meriva Beini Uveinecha. Don't let there be a fight between me and you. There's no fight between them. The shepherds had a fight. Who's Beini Uveinecha? Why is there a fight between me and you, between Avram and Loit? And the Mefarshim will say, because once a fight starts, and it doesn't stop, it grows, and it grows, and it grows. The fight might start off between the shepherds, but if the shepherds are involved, the fight grows, and then the boss gets involved, and the one on top gets involved. Eventually, if the fight doesn't end, it will be Beini Uveinecha. It will be a fight between me and you. If the fight doesn't end, the fight continues to grow, it will be Beini Uveinecha between Avram and Loit. We mentioned many times for the Shiloh HaKadosh, the word machlokes is spelled mem ches lamed kuf sof. The mem has a little opening on the bottom. It's a small little opening on the bottom. Machlokes starts, it's very small, small opening. If you don't stop it, the next letter is a ches. The ches is completely open on the bottom. Machlokes gets wider and wider. A lamed is the tallest of all the letters. It doesn't start, machlokes goes all the way up. Everybody gets involved. A kuf, the letter of the kuf is the lowest letter. Machlokes goes all the way down. The sof is open on the bottom, but it has a solid leg to stand on. The machlokes doesn't stop at the end. It remains and remains and remains. Very difficult to end the machlokes once it blows out of proportion. Be careful. The machlokes starts. The machlokes is not stopped. It grows and it grows and it grows. After the whole Muhammad with the four kings, the five kings, the pasuk says by Chamishi, Avram says, "Imichot v'atzweich now, dem ekach mikol ha'shaloch." In pasuk perik Yudalid and pasuk Chav Gimel, "Imichot v'atzweich now, from a thread to a shoelace, dem ekach mikol ha'shaloch. If I take anything of yours, v'loisayma, and don't say ani hershati es Avram, I made Avram rich." Very famous pasuk, Avram says, I won't take anything from the Melech Sdaim, from a thread to a shoelace. The Gemara in Saita, the Gemara, Daf Yud Zayin in Saita brings down, B'schus Avram said, in Chut V'atzreich now, Zochu Bonov, L'chut Shel Tcheles, U'l'Ritzuo Shel Tfilin. Because Avram said, in Chut, he won't take a thread, Hashem said, I'll give you a thread, I'll give you a Chut Shel Tcheles, the thread of Tcheles to the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Avram said, he won't take the strap of the shoe, Hashem gave us the mitzvah, the ritzuo shel tefillin, the straps of the tefillin. In the Meshech Chochma brings down that the reason why we wear talis and tefillin dafka by shachris, why not by mincha, why not by ma'ariv, the reason we wear talis and tefillin dafka by shachris is because shachris is a tefillah that Avraham Avinu was misaking. Since shachris is Avraham Avinu's tefillah, and we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah tefillah, mischus Avraham Avinu, it's only proper that in Avraham Avinu's tefillah, we put on the tefillah, we put on the tzitzis. And michut v'atzereich now, Beinu B'chai brings down, there are two other mitzvahs that were zeichetul because of Avraham Avinu's statement in michut v'atzereich now. He brings down the chut ha-sikra that went around the Mizbeach. Mizbeach and Beis HaMikdash had a red line that divided the Mizbeach into the upper part and the bottom part. And certain karbonos, the dam was put l'mayla, certain karbonos l'mata, that red line, that chut ha-sikra, it was zaychetul b'schus Avraham Avinu said imichot. And says Rabbeinu B'chai, the mitzvah of Yibum, the mitzvah of chalitza, the chalitza, na'aloi mi'al ragloi, the Yivamah takes off his shoe. Why the shoe? Mi'al ragloi? The atzreich now. Avraham Avinu said the atzreich now, we were zeichet to a mitzvah to do with the shul. We were zeichet to the mitzvah of chalitza, the chalitza naloi, me'al ragloi. Avraham Avinu, michut v'atzreich now, didn't want to take anything at all from Melech Sdaim. We find many stories of many gedolim that they refused to take any matonis. They didn't want to take michut v'atzreich now. So our story with the Chavetz Chaim. It was Yudua, the Chavetz Chaim, when he wrote his svarim, he went around selling them himself. He would travel from town to town, with his svarim, where there was a Shmir Saloshin, and he went around selling his svarim. He comes into a town, and it was a Shmir Saloshin that he was trying to sell. He walked into the Beis Medrash, And when the Chofetz Chaim went around traveling, he didn't reveal who he was. He didn't want people buying the sefer because it was the Chofetz Chaim. So you may believe he was just a messenger, a shliach, going around selling the Sfarim without revealing his identity. Comes into a certain Beis Medrash, and he puts down a sefer. The Rav comes in, starts looking through the Sfarim, and he sees, he reads halacha here, he reads another halacha in the back of the sefer, and he feels there's a stira, a contradiction between the two halachas. So he walks over to the Chofetz Chaim, not knowing who he is, thinking he's just the delivery boy trying to sell the Sfarim, and he says, go back and tell the Mechaber that is a big mistake in the sefer. There's a stira between one halacha and another halacha. Chofetz Chaim looks, and he says to him, you're making a mistake. It's not a stira. And they have a whole discussion. The Chofetz Chaim proves to him that both halachas are correct, and there's no stira between the two. The Rav is a little suspicious that this shliach already is not Stam, a shliach who's peddling the Sfarim. So he says to the shliach, tell me, who are you? Who are you? You're obviously not just Stam, a delivery boy, a messenger boy. You're Talmud Chacham, who are you? Begits back and forth, and finally Rav says, I know you're the Chofetz Chaim, you wrote the Sefer, and that's how you answered me the Stira, and so on. Begits, he says to the Chofetz Chaim, I'll take two copies of your Sefer. He reaches into his pocket, the Rav, obviously he was a little bit of an usher, and instead of giving the Chofetz Chaim 1 ruble, a note for 1 ruble, he gives him 100 rubles. The Chofetz Chaim didn't look, assuming it was 1 ruble for the Sfarim, which was the price, and he takes the 100 ruble and puts it into his pocket, into his wallet. The Rav takes the 2 Sfarim, and they go their separate ways. Chofetz Chaim leaves town, he's already in a different city, and he's going through his wallet, his pocket, and he finds the note of 100 rubles. And he realizes that something's not right, because nobody paid him 100 rubles. He starts thinking back and back and back, and he thinks that in a certain town, doesn't remember clear where, what, who, somebody gave him the one ruble, and probably it was a whole mix-up. So he tries to trace his steps backwards to find out who gave him the 100 rubles. He comes back to that town, and he goes to the Beis Medrash, and he gets up in shul, and he makes an announcement, Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, that instead of having 100 rubles, somebody gave me somebody gave me 100 rubles, I want to return it, it's not mine, please come and claim it, and so on. Nobody comes forward, nothing happens. Chofetz Chaim doesn't know what to do. He knows what's in this town, and he doesn't see the person who gave it to him, he doesn't know what to do, no one's coming forward. He asks around, no one knows anything. Chofetz Chaim gets up the next night in shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and he says, Rabbi Isai, please help me. And he starts to cry. And he says, I never took anything that's not mine. The 100 ruble that I have does not belong to me. It's not mine. The price of this is far more 1 ruble. Whoever gave me the 100 rubles, whether you did it intentionally, you wanted me to have the money, you didn't want me to have the money, I want to return it to you. It's not mine and I don't want to keep it. Please don't be mitzar me any longer. Don't cause me any more tsar and let me return to you the money that's not mine. And he cried. Okay. So at that point, Rav saw he had no choice. He went over to Chofetz Chaim afterwards and says, I gave it to you intentionally. I realized that it was you, Chofetz Chaim, and wanted me to give you money in a nice way, and that's why I gave it to you. Chofetz Chaim says, thank you very much. Here's 99 rubles back. I'm taking on only 1 ruble. And Mechut Vatz right now didn't want to take anything at all that wasn't his. So end off, the Pasuk says, V'hem in Hashem, V'yachsheveho loitztoko. Perek Tes Vov, Pasuk Vov. Avram had amuna in Hashem, v'yachsheveh lo, and Hashem considered it tzedaka. Says the Chofetz Chaim, why dafka amuna? Avram was mekayim kol haTorah kula. Chazal tell us, Avram was mekayim all tarig mitzvahs. V'hem in Hashem, v'yachsheveh lo, tzedaka. Because he had amuna, Hashem, that was considered to be tzedaka's chus for Avram. Why dafka v'hem in Hashem? And says the Chofetz Chaim, we know the Gemara at the end of Makis, v'chavakuk v'hem idra lachas. Chavakal came, and he was maimed all the Tariq mitzvahs down to one. The Iker is a Muna. A person who has a Muna has everything. A person without a Muna doesn't have anything at all. It says the Chofetz Chaim, if a person is drowning in the middle of the ocean, a person is drowning in the middle of the sea, and he's looking desperately to grab onto something, to keep himself afloat, and he sees a log of wood floating in the water that has branches coming out of it, what does he grab onto? Does he grab onto the branches? Or does he grab onto the thick log itself? He doesn't grab onto the branches. Because grabbing onto the branch, it might snap off, it might break off, and he's sinking in the water. but he grabs on to the ikar. He grabs on to the trunk, to the log itself. He grabs on to the log itself, that will keep him afloat. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Amuna is the log. Amuna is the ikar. Everything else are branches that come out. Person grabs onto a branch, it's fine, but it might break off. Person grabs onto the log itself, he grabs onto the tree itself, the amuna a person has, that's what keeps a person as mechazik a person. The hemin mashem, amuna mashem, v'yachshevel loitztoko. Amuna is the ikar that a person has to have. One short word, we'll stop. The pasuk says that Avram took Avinu outside, and he says to him, koyi yezarecha. So will be your children just like the stars. Your children will be like the stars. What was the comparison? Koyi yezarecha, like the stars. And the Rechaim says over a short word, but the message is very powerful. And he says, when a person looks up at the sky, what does he see? He sees stars, but they look very small. The stars don't look big at all, look very small. But if a person goes up to the sky and is able to stand next to the stars, that can be very big. Depends where you're standing. When you're standing down here and you look up at the stars, they're very small. Or in Shemayim, they're very big. He says, every yid, down here in this world, a person might be small. He might think he's insignificant. He might think he doesn't matter. But in Shemayim, Kaychovim, every yid is like a star. Every yid, Hashem, in Shemayim, is big, is choshev, like a chovim, like stars. A person might think he's small, but the truth is in Shemayim, everybody is choshev. Whatever matzav a person is in, whatever situation a person is in, we're all choshev. So even though I know we're running Yevamos now, Yevamos is a little bit hard, a little bit difficult, but forget, let's be mechazik ourselves, and as difficult as it is, try. A person who tries is matzliach, yagato mutsasa. A person who learns, yagato, he puts in the effort, he zaycha, he finds, let's be mechazik ourselves. Let's learn. Let's take a look at the Zeicha. All together, let's see Mashiach's kingdom here. Amen.